Gabe Evans, follow up to first presentation, getting signed off, January 29th, 2018, 1:30 p.m. All right, so Gabe, at the very beginning, when we're on this first page of the flip chart, what I want us to really convey is, hey, can we agree that the traditional financial industry, a lot of times, are only concerning themselves with helping the top 1% of the wealthiest of the population? Well, here at Transamerica, we've been doing this for a long time as well, as we just feel that everyone deserves a shot, at least at a dignified retirement, not just the top couple percent of the population. And so, in doing that, have you ever heard of our company, Aegon, before, or have you ever heard of this company? All right, so Aegon is our parent company. So right here, when you're going through the strength, I want you to say that Aegon, you said Aegon is basically essential to the stability of the economy here in the United States. Not, it's, we're Aegon, we're one of 9 companies that are essential to the stability of the global financial system. So Aegon, we're one of 9 companies that are essential to the stability of the global financial system. And that's literally what it says in the article, the Wall Street Journal article. So, and if you want, if you have this tool as well, you can get it. It says right here in the Wall Street Journal that we were put on the too big to fail list, basically meaning that we're not going anywhere. But it says we're one of 9 insurance companies that are essential to the stability of the global financial system. Right? But Aegon, basically, we're an international company, so probably the largest company you've never heard of. And I don't say 465, I say, hey, usually over around $500 million or over $500 billion in assets on any given day, right? The reality is that Aegon's an international company that's wanted a bigger presence here in America, right? And so they purchased Transamerica in 1999, also World Financial Group, which is our broker dealer, kind of like our payer. And so we operate under the Transamerica World Financial Group brand here in the United States. And because we have such a large backing, this is the transition. It really allows us to have a lot more choice, okay? And would you agree that choices are usually good? The more choice you have, the better it is? Well, I would agree in the financial industry as well, right? And so we have a lot of power because of the choice we have. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the difference between a captive versus a non-captive company? So that was the second thing, power of choice. Do you know the difference in a non-captive versus a captive company? That's the question. Then they say, well, no, I don't know. I say, hey,
not have you heard of, but...
Yeah, so do you know the difference between a captive and a non-captive company? They're like, no? Okay. Well, let me just explain captive first, then it'll be easier to explain non-captive because it's the opposite, okay? Captive companies only offer their own products and services. So, you've maybe heard of a company, even in the insurance industry, like a State Farm, a Farmers Insurance, maybe even a Primerica, right? I always say, because if I get them to say, oh, yeah, I've heard, I'm like, it's over if they have their products, right? So I have those two. Like, so you've heard of the companies like that? Hey, they might be good in one area, but can we agree that here every situation, every family has different needs? So they might not be the best in every single area that a family needs help with, okay? So a captive company only offers their own products and services, but a non-captive company, what we do is we work with about 75% of all the Fortune 500 financial institutions. That's another one. We work with 75% of all the Fortune 500 financial institutions. So you've heard of companies like Pacific Life, right? The big gray whale jumping across the screen. Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Prudential, The Rock. You've heard a lot of these companies, Voya, even Transamerica. These are just a few of our premier providers. So what we do is we represent you, our client. We represent you on behalf of you to all the different financial institutions, right? And then we see what works best in different options in different areas. Maybe we'll bring back the best products and strategies in those certain areas and now give you a lot more choice. And what that allows us to do is we now have the highest quality, but for the lowest out-of-pocket expense. So what I want you to get across is this. I'm going to represent you to all these different institutions, and now we're going to be able to bring back different products and strategies, right, and different options in different areas, and now it's going to have the highest quality, but bring down the out-of-pocket expense for the consumer. It's going to get you the best in every single area, right? Let me ask you a question. Maybe Prudential might be, this is something you can say, maybe Prudential will be the best there in the area of protection of your retirement, but maybe Transamerica is the best for your insurance needs or your college funds. Maybe Pacific Life's best for your tax-free retirement, and maybe, you know, Voya or Jackson or, you know, Franklin Templeton, maybe one of these other companies is best for your college funds, right? Not every company is going to be the best in every area. That you see the mindset I'm getting across? So one of the one things you want to say is, So because we're a non-captive company and we're such a large broker dealer and we have Aegon and the power of choice, this is the mindset. All this, we work with 75% of all the Fortune 500 financial institutions. 325 companies to be exact, all A-rated companies. Only A-rated companies. They're B-plus rated, we don't work with them. So now what that allows us to do is have the highest quality products. Look at it. Highest quality products, but for the lowest out-of-pocket expense to the consumer. And what that allows us to do now, remember we were talking about helping the middle-class market? We're now able to go and help a demographic of people who have been left behind by the financial industry. Because we work with so many companies, transition, because we work with so many companies and so many different products and solutions, right? These are just a few of the products and solutions that we provide. These are some of the financial services we provide. You know, IRS, Roth, you probably heard of some of this stuff, right? Annuities, I always say this, modernized annuities as well, because they've never heard of it. They think annuity, they think bad thing because of the 70s, right? Say modernized news, mutual funds, life insurance, even investment grade life insurance. You heard of that? No, I haven't. Okay, great. Long-term care is becoming an issue nowadays. College funding, obviously, it's important. Hey, can we agree college is getting extremely more expensive, right? Absolutely. What about tax advantage products? Have you ever heard of those? Or even indexed accounts? Oh, you haven't? Oh, we'll get to that later. We specialize here. In 401ks, here's what I want you to understand here. In financial services, even when we say 401ks, I say, it might not be my favorite thing for individuals, but companies really love them. Southwest Airlines, one of our newest clients. Here I'm going more for credibility still and more of what we do. I don't want the client to think that we're only selling one thing and the whole thing is trying to get them into one thing. Does that make sense? I want them still to think there's options. So I just go through the options and I just give little teeny hints and ask questions. Does that make sense? Oh, you never heard index? Oh, I specialize right here. Obviously, we specialize tax advantage products, also indexed accounts. We'll talk about that more later and much more. So these are all the financial services we provide. And so remember we were talking about helping middle-class families as well. Hey, listen, our vision, our mission is no family left behind. Now here, this is where I don't talk so much just about family. I say, hey, can we just agree? Unfortunately, when we sit down with families, they usually fall into one category or the other almost exclusively. They have a lot of the characteristics of one category or the other. And I tell them right up front, right? There might be some characteristics here or there, some gray area, but can we agree that America is kind of becoming, there's a lot of people in this kind of middle income to like lower market, and then there's just the wealthier people in America, right? So our vision is no family left behind, and unfortunately we sit with families and majority of them fall into this kind of middle income bracket, okay? Let's just take a look at this for a second, what a lot of the characteristics are over here. And remember, a lot of their characteristics fall over here. A lot of families are making under the 100,000 a year. Would you agree? Yeah, absolutely. And if they usually have jobs. Is too much?
No, I'm literally,
you got all this. It's just,
I get
it's
the
just,
information.
Now it's,
your transitions are so good. Your transitions are so good. Every time I hear this presentation, it moves me personally. Oh. But like, your transition is so good that I'm literally like, I feel myself leaning forward like as if it's my first time going through the presentation.
That's what you want every time.
The impact I need to have. Transition is huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm just picking up on your keywords, like the words you're using is big too. So I'm picking up on like some sayings that you have, because I'm gonna tell you, like, I've seen you in action. I'm going to mimic that until I'm going to, I don't have to invent anything. I'm gonna.
No, you just have to bring your energy and swag to it. That's fine.
That's natural. That's exactly. Gonna happen. It's just a matter of
the words being the words. Yeah.
The words of power. I'm gonna learn those freaking words.
So when you see like the transition here, so like I said, hey, and the reason why yours isn't as long yet is because there's certain questions that are little questions that you can ask throughout the whole time that you get more agreeances throughout the time, right?
Get them to agree.
Yeah.
Keep agreeing with you.
So would you agree that most people just have like a 401k through their job, right? That's what most people have for retirement, right? And for you, I also put here a lot of these things. You can say, hey, or a TSP if you're in the military, or they're switching, right? Because you have a little insight, right? And if you're meeting with a military family, I always like kind of throw that nugget in there. You see what I mean? 401k, TSP, oh, it's all the same thing, right? A retirement account through your job. Like, yeah, that makes sense. You see what I mean? Then I go, hey, term life insurance. You didn't say it. You said it doesn't expire over here, but term life insurance, hey, it's term life insurance. Usually it's through the job, but term basically is temporary and it's going to expire, right? They rent homes rather than own. If they did own a home, they probably gave it back in 2008, right? Or a lot of people did. They save money in the bank almost exclusively, right? And they have credit card debt or all kinds of debt. It's not just credit card debt. Debt is, manufactured, in America very well, right? maximize tax advantages, right? I mean, minimal tax advantages on this side, right? They have minimal tax advantages, and they don't have an advisor such as myself or what David's learning to do right now. They don't have any coach financially, therefore they don't have any plans put in place. And would you agree, you know, most people spend more time planning a family vacation than they do their entire future, right? And it's hard to get anywhere if you don't plan, right? But hey, it's the majority of everyone. Can we agree? Most people have a lot of characteristics. Yeah, right? And so I'm not telling them it's them. And here I also don't, here's what I want you said, one thing you said, hey, where would you rather be, here or here? The reason I don't tell them where they're at is because what if they are over here too? I want them as a client. So I want them to think, oh, well, they can't help clients like me because they only help middle class clients, right? So I just say, here's the majority of a lot of people, right? Now, like I said, there's a couple characteristics, some gray area here, but let's look at the, you know, wealthier Americans, right? It's called family, you know, family, or, you know, the top few percent of the population, usually making over a quarter million or more. They usually don't make that in jobs. Usually they're business owners, correct? You agree, right? They usually have indexed accounts. You said you hadn't heard of those, but they all usually have them, right? But permanent insurance, life insurance, meaning they have insurance that doesn't expire, right? And they usually own property, homes, or multiple properties, and they're diversified in their portfolios. All this means is they're not saving it all in the bank. Okay, and they're usually debt-free, or at least strategically leveraging the debt if they have it, right? But usually debt-free, which is a goal of ours for all of our clients, right? And they have maximized tax advantages. And it's usually because they have a team of financial professionals that are helping them out in these different areas, right? Would you agree if you had maximized tax advantages, if you just saved some in the amount that you paid in taxes and you were responsible for that money? What if you saved 10% over your lifetime every year in taxes and that went to you and your family? Would you be able to do a little more? Would your retirement look better? Would you be able to get ahead a little easier? You know, absolutely, right? So this is a small percentage of the population. Don't get me wrong, right? That we're, you know, I have our clients over here in the wealthy area. We have a lot of high net worth business owners, professional athletes. We have them as clients. But what we're really doing, and everyone's trying to help them, but what we're really successful at doing, what we love doing as well, is just helping family, middle American families, be able to get the education, the tools to start moving towards the family B category. I always do this, put it on the moving towards the family B category in terms of retirement, savings, investments, insurance, anything of that nature. And the way we do this is through an educational approach. Would you agree that most people aren't really educated on this stuff in our country? Absolutely. And so what we do is we educate. Here's the transition. Listen, this is where you didn't get the transition into compound interest, how many grows, how many taxes. This is what I say here. However you do it at the end of this. I say, so the three, we do an educational approach, right? So the three main areas we focus on are the main areas that that derail most people on the road to financial independence or retirement. I can't tell you everything that's going to happen in life, but there's three main areas that statistically are the main pitfalls. And they're not understanding these, what we call three rules of the money game. The first one is compound interest. The second one is how your money grows, right? Or specifically here also, how a market loss can affect you, right? Like a 2008 or something like that. How that really affects people. And the third one is taxation. Once you grow money, it's going to be taxed some way, right? So those are the three areas. Compound interest, how your money grows, how it's taxed. If you understand these three areas, do you not feel that someone will probably do a little bit better financially if they're aware? Absolutely. So those are the areas we focus on. Now let me ask you a question, Gabe. On a scale from 1 to 10, how well would you say you understand those three rules of the money game, those concepts? 1 being, you know, as much as your infant. 10 being, you know, as much to teach a seminar to masters of finance students. So basically, you know, I mean, you are spot on with all this stuff. You could teach this stuff, right? What would you say on a scale from 1 to 10 understanding those three rules of the money game?
And then they give you a number and it's low. Oh, 1, 2.
5, 6, whatever. And I was like, oh, hey, if I could take you like a 7 or 8 right now in the next 5 minutes, would you be interested in that? Would that be good? Absolutely. That's what we do. That's what we love doing. Perfect. Let's get started. Hey, have you ever heard of let's talk about compound interest first. You ever heard of the Rule 72 before? That's the transition. I ask them how well they know those three rules of the money game. I get them. See, everything's Socratic. The Socratic method is they come up with it. I ask questions for them to answer the question for themselves in their head, and them basically feeling that they're coming up with, like, that'd be great if I knew that, right? How well do you think you know these three rules of the money game? Oh, 5 cents. If I could take you to this, would that be good? Yeah, that would be. See, that's it. Yeah. Okay, now they give me permission to now give them more of this information. I don't want to be in a press. See, now I'm not presenting to them. I'm getting permission where they want to get some of the education. even though it is our presentation, that little bit now takes it from, you know, so much from I'm closed off helping Dave to like, you know, well, you don't know. If I could help you with that, even the next 5 minutes, I'd be good. Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we love, what we do. Now they see your passion, right? Hey, let's get started. You ever heard of the, you know, compound interest before or the Rule 72? No, I've never heard of the Rule 72. Okay, perfect. Hey, let me explain it just real quick. I know David's heard this before. But hey, Einstein came up with this. He called it the ninth wonder of the world, or eighth wonder of the world. I've heard it, seen it both on Google. So the eighth wonder of the world. Hey, if you just take an interest rate, divide 72 by the interest rate, that's how long it'll take your money to double in years, approximately. Notice, I'm very fast and then I slow. And the points I want to emphasize, you take the interest rate, divide 72 by the interest rate, that's how many years it'll take your money to double in years, approximately. These are little nuances. When you want to get something across, you're talking, and then slow it down and put emphasis on what you want. Three circles. Hey, 15% they put in the, you know, investments. Why? Oh, they want it to grow. You're right. They want to grow it, return it. But the 5% of the wealthiest people, they're putting as much as they can possibly stuff into their investment-grade life insurance products with these companies. And the reason why? One reason, I'll just tell you. It's the tax-free advantages. They can't get any other place in this quantity. You see the inflection in my voice? Like, I'm ingraining, I'm like trying to transfer this into their brain that they see the picture. It's just a transition. So three rules of money game. So you explain this, and I say, hey, now that we know, and I always say, hey, now here's what happens. There's a question you need to ask. When you put your money in the bank, what's the bank doing with your money? Oh, they're loaning it, making money. Exactly. You know what they're making? They're giving you actually 0.025% on average right now, but do you know the bank in safe places is averaging 6 to 12% on your money all day long? Now, what we're doing is, what if I could show you? Now, I always ask this question. I always talk about everyone else, but I always ask these questions to them, right? What if I could show you how to, instead of put your money in the bank, put your money where the bank is already putting your money in safe places, you average 6 to 12% with no risk. Would you rather do that? How many people? And then I say it, so it's not just them, but I said it, and I say it again. How many people would rather do that? Oh, everyone. And I got them to say them, but then also everyone. Twice. Perfect. Now that we know it's important to grow money, and also don't go into debt because then it works against you the same way. Right? Now that we know it's important to grow money, now let's talk about the different types of growth on money. Is this too much? Are you getting it?
No, I'm getting it. I'm just taking it all in. All
right, so different types of growth on money.
Presentation, my next one's going to be a lot different.
Rules of money game. Scale from 1 to 10. Okay. Oh, and the rule of 72. I'll say 7.2 years. I say at 10%, it doubles every 7 years approximately. 7.2 is too detailed, doesn't sound. I just say 7 years approximately, right? So don't have to calculate and have some technical person, right? So I always say that. Okay, so three rules of the money. Now that we know it's important to grow money, let's talk about the different types of growth on money. This is where it gets fun, right? So you have three different types of growth on money. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the first couple. The first one, fixed, always start here, right? Fixed, you went through that fine, right? The second option, and I don't go always like perfect, like it's different every time, like make it look like, you know, whatever. I always make sure that it's down at the end though. Right? So now because everybody's not keeping up with inflation and making money, where does everybody go next? Variable. What is this? Anything that has opportunity but also risk. So it's the stock market, mutual funds, all that kind of stuff, right? Let me ask you this. Where's most people's 401ks? Where's most people's TSPs, 403bs, all their retirement accounts? Most Americans' retirement accounts are in this variable market, right? Stocks and mutual funds, right? So let's just take a look at this. I'm not saying it's not good sometimes, whatever. Let's just take a look at the concepts, right? If you had $1,000 though, and tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. Right? If the market loses money like in 2008, like we saw, hey, it'll grow back at some point, just don't take it out, right? Which is true to some extent. But let's look at this. Let's say here's 2008 and here's the end of it. 50% loss in 1 year, where are you at? Oh, 500. Now if you gain 50% back, let's say a 2 year period, lose 50% year one, gain 50% back in year two, where are you at now? Oh, 1,000. No, you're actually 750, and a lot of people think 1,000, but you're only growing it back on the amount that was left. So you actually need a 100% return just to get back even after a 50% loss. Oh, really? Yeah. So you're your next option for growth is indexed growth, right? And you've heard of like an index before, maybe like an S&P 500 or something like that. Indexed growth is actually a strategy that allows you to get a majority of the upside of the market but with none of the downside risk. That's a good key. Get a majority of the upside of the market with none of the downside risk.
Still recording this?
Basically, the market goes up, you make money. The market comes down, you don't lose any. Market goes up, you make money. Market comes down, you don't lose any. You only participate in the upside of the market but never the downside. So let me ask you, if you had an option, a choice on a growth pattern for your long-term assets, where would you rather have your long-term assets growing? Yeah, see, I always ask them because they're becoming my client. You see what I mean? See, perfect. Now, here's the key. Our firm, which we do, you don't yet, right? But our firm, we do all three. We just want to give people all their options, right? Now that we grow money, though, it's going to be taxed in one of three ways, and you get to pick. You can either get taxed on it now, right, which is every year. You get taxed on it later, which is deferred. You heard of that, right? This is kind of like your 401ks and retirement accounts, things of that nature. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think taxes are going down or up in the future? Up, right? So this means you're going to pay later, but it's probably going to be a higher rate, right? Also, you don't know what the taxes are going to be, so it's like going into business with someone that can change the terms and take more of your profits. Would you ever go into an open-ended contract in business? No. Why would you do it with the federal government? Yet this is what everybody's doing with their retirement accounts in this country right now.
How do you memorize all these?
I don't know. And I just say it all the time and listen, and I just, after you say it so much, you just... Now here, remember that question? I've gotten this before.
Play this over and over.
I got this question before. This is a key one. That's why I asked it to you. Hey, well, I thought you were going to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement, though. Like my advisor or someone said, you know, I'll be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. I'm not going to need as much money. Or if they don't bring it up, I'll also say, hey, and a lot of people, you've probably heard advisors, I overcome the objection before it comes up. And then, even if they haven't had that objection, what happens is it allows them to know that I know what their advisor is going to tell them if they have one, their Uncle John who thinks he's an advisor, right? Oh, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. I've heard that before, right? Or if they ask. Well, let's take a look at this because statistically it's showing that it's absolutely false, and a lot of advisors are spewing this right now. I say spew because it doesn't sound good, but I'm not attacking them. You see what I mean? Right? Oh, you'll be in a lower tax bracket in retirement, Gabe. Okay, for most middle-income families, what are your biggest tax breaks or your tax write-offs, Gabe?
House.
Oh, your house. And what else?
Kids.
And your kids. Okay, perfect. Let me ask you a question. Is the reason why they say you'll need less money in retirement is because you're going to pay down your house and your kids aren't going to be in the house anymore?
Probably.
Absolutely. So what ends up happening is later on in life when you go to retire, you're losing your two biggest tax deductions. So even if you bring in less money, you also have less tax deductions. What we're finding is that people are in the same tax bracket or higher in retirement, and everyone's telling them they're going to be in a lower tax bracket. Really hard to plan when you don't know, isn't it? Absolutely. That's all it is. Your third option is tax advantage. Let's just call it, I always say advantage, and I say let's just call it tax never, or the nice word for this, legal term, exempt. That's what it is. I always say never and exempt. Basically, you're never going to pay taxes on the earnings. So, oh, that looks good, right? Hey, let's just look at this. Out of these three, what would you rather have your... Oh, you'd rather be here as well? So if I could show you how that works, right? You'd rather have that. Everyone's like, hey, as long as it's legal, right? Hey, you'd rather be C3, but guess what? You and most people are in some form of A1, B2. So all we're doing is showing people how to move and start saving money into C3 if possible. And if they have something that's old, like a variable, you know, in tax later 401k or something like that, we might be able to just protect that and move it from B to C. It might have to stay tax later, but we can move it and at least protect that for them, right? So let's just look at a few of the different products. This is the transition. So I always do this first, this and this, then we look at the products. So these are your different products in your tax now, most savings accounts, brokerage accounts, mutual funds, stocks, whatever. Tax later is most of your retirement accounts, 401s, 403s, IRAs, TSPs even, right? And your tax exempt, I always say tax exempt would be your municipal bonds. Not very safe nowadays, right? It's like investing in your city, right? Roth IRAs, they're very limited, but they are tax exempt, right? Tax never on the growth, right? But you can't put as much here, but you can put 18,000 here, 18,500, you can only put about 5,500 here. Go figure. The government's pushing people to put here. Why? You're sharing your retirement with them here. You're not sharing it with them here. So they'd rather you have it here. You see that? And they're like, oh my God, yeah. And then your third is like executive bonus plans, which a lot of times are indexed and tax exempt, and also any cash accumulation inside insurance policies. And there's, I always say there's different ways to structure those, right? So there's a thing called like an indexed universal life policy, and we structure a lot of those like life insurance retirement programs, a LIRP, life insurance retirement programs. Have you ever seen how those work? Oh, no, you haven't? Oh, let me show you real quick. That's how I get into three squares and three circles. Hey, in here. Hey, do you have any of these? Oh, you have like a 401k? Let me just show you. Has anybody ever shown you how those like those really work? And I'll go into 401k murder, right? I'll talk to them or I'll show them this. I'll show them this when they have a 401k. I was like, hey, let me just show you how that works. So what a lot of our clients do is just stop contributing to that. And we have things. Do you have anything that's like an underperforming, you know, 401k, 403b, TSP, IRA, mutual funds, you know, CDs in the bank, any of that stuff? Yeah. So what we do is we call this putting a grip on someone's retirement. We're going to help just stop contributing to that and roll it over into something that we're going to get guarantees. Do you want guarantees in retirement? Absolutely. What about higher rates of return? Sometimes even up to like 6.5%. Guaranteed. Would you rather have higher returns? Absolutely. What about indexed growth? So you can't lose. Remember we talked about that? You can only grow up and not lose. Yeah. And what about a pension income for life? Do you want to turn that old 401k or whatever it is into a pension? Right? Absolutely. And sometimes we can even get a bonus. Maybe sometimes 6 to 10% bonus depending on if the money qualifies. See, I didn't tell them they're for sure going to get it. So what this looks like is we just take that money from the old 401k, just roll it over. If it qualifies into something that's index growth, right, that has all this, putting a grip on their on your retirement. So if it's growing at 6% even, right, if it, the market's up, you make money. But index, the market goes down, 6% minimum. Market goes up, you make money. Market comes down, 6% minimum. Market goes up, you make money. Market comes down, 6% minimum, right? Rule of 72 product says that in 12 years minimum, this is going to double. So what we do is just roll that over from your old variable account into something that's indexed growth that has all this, right, and protect it. Now with the new money, you said you had never heard of what that like life insurance retirement program looks like or an indexed universal life. Okay, that's how, then that's when I go into three squares. Let me show you what types of companies offer this, right? So let's say it's you, right? And let's say the average person is putting money in the bank, right? Getting 0 to 1% rate of return if they're lucky. And we already said most people go here, why? It's safe, right? Mm-hmm. And you're also gonna pay taxes on any money you grow here as well. So the only thing that keeps it safe though is, you ever heard of the FDIC before? Federal Depository Insurance Corporations, right? Insurance companies, they're insuring the money up to $250,000. That's the only thing that keeps it safe.
So if you get an account,
make sure you have $251,000, make sure you get a second account. See, the banks, you put in a dollar, did you know they're loaning out like 10 bucks for every dollar you put in? No. Yeah, it's called fractional reserve banking, right? Doesn't make me feel very safe, does it make you feel safe? They only have a dollar in the bank, yet they're loaning out 10, right? So, but remember I was telling you that these banks, where are they going with money? Them and wealthy people and big corporations, right? They're going straight to insurance, these big time insurance companies, right? Why? Because they're making 8 to 20% rates of return with no taxes on a lot of the different vehicles here and different products. And every insurance company has a reinsurance company that's backing them, and they have different accounting practices. They have to have $3 in cash reserves for every dollar they have in a liability, so it's much safer. Why do you think this is regulated to be so much safer than banking? Because this is where big corporations, wealthy people, and big-time banks, they're all putting their money. So what we're showing you how to do is, this is for the old money, but with the new money we're saving, with your long-term assets, how to skip the bank and go straight here with your own money, like we were saying. So they're going to make money, but so you can make maybe 6 to 12% on average, but with no risk, and grow it all tax-free. So that's why I show you this first, just so you kind of understand what type of companies offer, you know, indexed growth, what types of companies offer, you know, tax exempt status on the earnings and things of that nature. Did you know like 97% of all pensions are administered from insurance companies? Yeah. When you get a check, it's from an insurance company, usually if it's a pension, right? So let's talk about this. You know, we know, and I'll start two-thirds up the page, so there's room for tax-free down here, right? I say, hey, you know, but we already talked about it, but about a big, I don't say exact numbers because it's not an exact, and you're going to have these one guy, where did you get that statistic, right? I say, a big portion of the population is called around 80% or so. A huge portion of the population, they save most of their money in banks, right? And we already said this. And why they do that is safe, right? We just talked about that. But you have about 15% of the population, your higher income earners, that they're doing what with their money? They're putting it in investments. Why do you think they do that?
Make money.
Make money. But then your 5% or your highest wealth, you know, the wealthiest people in the country, they're putting as much as they can possibly stuff into their investment grade life insurance products with these companies. For one reason only, the main reason, the tax-free advantages that they can't get anywhere else in this quantity. See how that looks? Mm-hmm. What jumps off the page? What's the most?
Tax-free.
Because you already did. That's why I start here. Small. So what if there's a product that took on all three of these characteristics, though, of the most common places that people put money and why they put it there? That would be that index universal life policy I was telling you about, structured like a life insurance retirement program. Alert. And basically, it takes on all three of these characteristics. You're going to be able to...
Life insurance.
Retirement program.
Yep.
You're going to be able to put money in here for your future, for retirement, kids' college funds, house in the future, whatever. You're going to be able to grow the money tax-free and take it out tax-free, right? On the safe side, you can get between a 0 and 1% rate of return, usually depending on the company. We have one with Transamerica that's 0.75, 0.75%. On the downside, so I know it doesn't seem like a lot of money when we were talking about, you know, 1%, right? 6 to 12, it doesn't seem like a lot, but this is just a basement. It's a good floor for your money. Basically, when the market tanks 30, 40, 50% in 1 year, like 2008, 2002, instead of losing half your retirement, you earned almost 1%. So it's just a basement, right? But on the investment side, remember we talked about 6 to 12% earlier? I always do this because I did it in the flip chart. I said 6 to 12. Well, if we could show you how to take your money and put it there, right? This psychologically, when I do it there and then I do it here again, it brings that file back there. Remember. Remember, then, so on the investment side, though, remember we talked about that 6 to 12% earlier? Imagine making up to 15% here. Wow. Right? Compounded growth, never losing, index growth. These have averaged 9.35% over the last 25 years. Now, the best part, though, is all your accumulating wealth, you get to access 100% income tax-free for your own tax-free retirement. And the reason why and how you're able to do that is you actually have an investment-grade life insurance policy that's surrounding this. It's not just designed to protect your family in the case of, you know, you not being here anymore, but also to protect your wealth. Yes, you'll have a death benefit that'll go to your family tax-free, just like any death benefit out of a life insurance policy will go to. But what if we structured it so all your accumulating wealth? Every time I say accumulating wealth, notice I draw more dollar signs. What if we structure so all your accumulating wealth goes to your beneficiaries tax-free also? Right, without probate, inheritance taxes, none of that stuff. Wow. Right, so that's one contingency. That's if you die too soon. Hopefully that doesn't happen. What's happening to most people, though, they're living too long right now, right? And so I hope you live the grand old age of 100. I hope you're healthy. I hope you're playing racquetball at 102, whatever, right? But now all your accumulating wealth, you get to access 100% income tax-free for your own tax-free retirement. It just protects under both contingencies. Whether you go too soon or you live a long time, you're going to be protected. And the way they're able to do that is just a tax code, Internal Revenue Code 7702, subsection A. It's just a tax code that says any money that's growing or put inside of an insurance policy that grows cash value, you're able to grow it tax-free, take it out tax-free. You've ever heard of like IRC code 401 subsection K? You've heard of a 401K? It's just a tax code. What about IRC code 403 subsection B? You know that TSP, it's all tax code, right? This tax code just says any money here that's put inside insurance policy, allowed to grow tax-free, take it out tax-free. Without all probate, inheritance tax, none of that stuff. Right? Penalties, nothing.
That's good, man.
How long you think this has been around though, this tax code?
Long time.
Long time, yeah. Since 1913 to be exact. What, 105 years? You know what else came out in 1913?
IRS.
Federal taxes, yeah. So some people say, well, do they know about this? They're the ones that enacted it way back then. It's been around since then, since they put in taxes. Who do you think they made that tax code for? Right? So just to let you know, you ever heard like Pacific Life before we were talking about? Yeah. Their average client right now is putting about $3,500 a month, about $40,000 a year is the average, going into a Pacific Life policy like this. a lot of executives, a lot of people put in, right? Transamerica, our version, our average is about 2,500 to 3,000 a month, about 30,000 a year on average. Why do you think these numbers are so high? That's a lot of money just to be put in it, right? For most people, the reason is the averages is most of the wealthy people are the ones utilizing these products. But we're showing people that this tax code doesn't only work for them. Remember, we're going to the middle class. We're bringing premium product platforms to the middle class for the first time. We're showing them how to put away $50 a month for their one-month-old baby, $100 a month for adolescent teenagers, or average adults, $300, depending on the family you're talking to, whatever, right? You know your demographic. $500 a month, $750. I even have a daycare provider in the Claremont area putting $1,000 a month away or more sometimes just because she knows every dollar she puts in here, she's going to grow it tax-free. She's going to take it out tax-free. The only limiting factor, the only determining factor is how much do you want to put away for your own tax-free retirement, Gabe? Let me ask you a question. I show this to 10 people. How many people would rather have this than what they have right now? Mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone. So what you're saying is it's impossible for Dave Zapata here to fail as long as he gets this information in front of enough people, as long as he gets referrals from someone that really respects him like yourself. Right? Would you like me to show you how one of these can work for you and your family, or how you can potentially get paid sharing this with other people and giving referrals, or both? Right? Anyways, I say that. I already went over this. So then the transition is this. They say 10. I know they're ready, right? Now I go here and I say, hey, I'll say it's a financial needs analysis. They say, hey, these are just the six areas of financial focus that we want to focus on for a well-rounded financial plan, right? It's not just one area, right? A lot of firms are accumulation specialists, but they don't talk about protection of assets. They don't talk about anything else. So let me ask you, out of these six areas, we talk about increasing cash flow, how to earn additional income, how to manage expenses. If I could help you even on a part-time basis, just have to ask, right? Let me ask you, if I could help you on a part-time basis increase your cash flow, right? Is that something you'd be interested in at all? Maybe? Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that next time. Yeah. Right, college funding, right, it's important, or even debt management, emergency funds, important, right? It's not if, but when something comes up, right? So we just want to make sure you're set with, you know, a few months of income in case something happens. Proper protection, how to protect against the loss of a family income or assets. Life insurance comes in here. Most people are grossly underinsured by industry guidelines. Sometimes I'll go into Dime right here and show them what that is. I talk about building wealth next. Now that we have the foundation in place, building wealth, how to outpace inflation, reduce your taxation, professional money management for the middle class for the first time, even preserving your wealth, right? Once you do work hard your whole life and you grow and you're responsible, how to make sure that your family gets that legacy and you don't leave liabilities and that the government doesn't take it all, right? So let me ask you a question. Out of these six areas, financial focus, if you were just pick the top few priorities, two or three priorities for you and your family at this current time, what would they be?
You pick one.
All right. And then I say, hey, quick question. If I were able to help you, if we were able to put a plan in place, a strategy in place, obviously you being the judge of it, but a strategy in place that puts you on a better financial track in regards to increasing your cash flow, protection, and building wealth, if we're able to do that, is that something you'd allow us to work on? Absolutely. Okay, perfect. Let's have a few questions for you then. All right. One, at what age would you like to retire or be financially independent outside of tomorrow, obviously? Right. Oh, 65. Okay, perfect. How much do you think you'd want in total, in lump sum or in assets, in order to be able to retire? At least $2 million. Okay, great. And let me ask you, in today's dollars, how much do you want coming in per month to live your dream financial independence life or retirement? Oh, at least $7,000 a month. Perfect. So let me ask you, Gabe and Jenny, right? Whatever name it was. Like if we're able to put a strategy in place, like I said, that helps you in these areas, and that at 65 you're able to have the money you need, $2 million, with $7,000 a month coming in whether you work or not, right? And then I'll also ask them, hey, if that happens, what would you want to be doing, right? Fishing, going to see the grandkids, whatever. And then you're able to go do fish and go see the grandkids. I tie it back in. Is that something that you would allow us to do for you? Yeah. Well, at least look at it. If it makes sense, perfect. If it makes sense, great. Hey, so that's what we'll do. We'll put a strategy together. That's it for today, but just so it's fresh in your mind and fresh in my and ours as well, I'm very busy. I'm sure you are too, but I want to get back together. I always get back together within 3 or 4 days just so it's fresh in both our minds. When we come back, it's only be like 15 minutes. Not like this. We're going to show you the numbers, show you the plan. If it makes sense, we can talk about at that point what the next steps are to start implementing things if necessary, right? Obviously, you being the judge of it. But it'll be about 15 minutes when we come back. What's the best time? Either Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday next week? Perfect. Hey, thanks. It was really nice meeting you. And then we're out.